Robert Berry, and welcome to Retro Crush, the podcast, episode 28. Had an outstanding day today because I got to interview George Romero, director of Night of the Living Dead, director of Dawn of the Dead, director of Day of the Dead, and director of Land of the Dead, which comes out on DVD on October 18th. And we'll be doing a review of that a little bit separately, but I wanted to play with for you a little bit of an interview clip that we have for you today. I was a part of this really crazy interview that we had with George Romero. I guess there was such a high demand for his time for interviews today that they had an hour-long conference call for the press, and there was 12 different reporters that each had about 5 minutes to ask him questions. So I'm going to have this for you in its entirety, broken into two future episodes, but I thought it'd be fun just to play the portion of what I got to ask him today. And without further ado, here that is.
Every dead body that is not exterminated becomes one of them. It gets up and kills. The people it kills get up and kill.
And our next interview comes from Robert Berry of Retro Crush.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Good. Hey, I want to talk a little zombie philosophy with you here. Your zombies have evolved dramatically in the four zombie films that you've made, from just being shambling, bloodthirsty creatures to, you know, the second film, they wander to the malls because that's what they used to know, and then you get the learning to use a gun a little bit in Day until Land of the Dead, where they're actually doing things they once did when they were alive and learning to use tools and get out of complex situations. What's next in the evolution of the Romero zombie that we're yet to see is...
Well, I don't know. Maybe they'll start farming? I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think... In my mind, the character of Bub in Day of the Dead was, in fact, more advanced than Big Daddy in Land of the Dead. I mean, the cat almost spoke. I didn't think it was a great leap. And it's amazing, actually, that people say, well, wow, all of a sudden your zombies are, you know, have some character or some organization or something. And I think Bub was the sort of perfect introduction to that. And I Big Daddy, I think, is maybe a bit dumber than Bub was, even. But he's a strong presence. I tried to indicate by making him African-American that we were, that I, anyway, was switching allegiances, and you should like this guy. But he just has, you know, star quality, whatever it is. And so where Bub was imitating the scientist who was trying to tame him, quotes around that word, now, all of a sudden, other zombies are imitating Big Daddy's actions, and he's almost teaching them. Not directly, but, you know, that makes it a bit more, makes them a bit more dangerous. And so I'm sort of marching along that road. Like, if you leave this stuff alone, if you don't address it, if you don't try to, you know, it's just going to snap up and take over you. It's like the war against terror. Who's going to ever win that war, you know? Give me a break. Not a chance. So that's partly what I'm saying, is that this is a new society that is coming in, and you may not understand it, and it may be, you know, weird or whatever, but it's something to be reckoned with, and you can't just sort of write it off.
Are we going to have the chance to see more zombie stuff from you? Is there something in the works to show that growth?
Well, there's nothing directly in the works. I thought for a while that this being a big studio release, that if it made lots of money, I might have to make a sequel quickly, which I didn't really want to do because these have been so far apart. I like the idea that they reflect different decades, but so I sort of left it in two ways. Left it open. I left it open for if I needed to make a sequel quickly, I could just continue this story. tried to wink at that at the end when Riley says, you know, they're just looking for a place to go, same as us. And so if this is the last one, if I don't live long enough to make another one, then, you know, I'm content. Otherwise, I'm going to wait for sort of another event. Maybe somebody will, you know, nuke DC, and then I'll have something else to talk about.
Thanks.
Thank you.
What a fun interview that was. George was just lively throughout, entertained a lot of questions about Land of the Dead, even made some neat comments about some of his older, more less seen films like Knight Riders and Martin. And it's kind of sad to see that there is not a another series of the Living Dead film immediately lined up. I know there was some talk and rumors among the internet fans out there that there was a movie called Road of the Dead that was in the works. But hey, you heard it from George right there. We confirmed it. There is no new part 5 to the Living Dead series that's lined up, or is there any plans to make one? Or even a story. So, you know, George was mentioning that he's kind of made a different movie that's represented each decade from Night of the Living Dead on forward. And the thought of making a movie that immediately follows Land of the Dead doesn't seem to be something he's incredibly comfortable with anyway. He also goes on in the interview that you'll hear another day, but he mentions that he's not even comfortable handing the franchise over to somebody else if he were to die. So enjoy these movies while you can. Again, October 18th, Land of the Dead comes out on DVD, and we will be having a special two-part episode coming up shortly with the entire audio interview, the full hour of all of the questions with George Romero. So I'll be really excited to present that to you. Hey, if you're in Sacramento or around the area, make an effort to come out to Cesar Chavez Park on October 8th. I believe that's a Saturday, at the park. Marky Ramon and Tommy Ramon, the last two surviving members of the Ramones, are going to be playing there. And they're just kind of your last chance to see anything remotely resembling the Ramones. And look for us there. We'll be there looking for you. I was looking through a lot of my music files today. I found a couple CDs with some backups of tons of MP3s that I had gotten off Kazaa and Napster back in the day, back in 2001. And it's kind of fun to see a lot of the stuff that I had downloaded back then. And it was reminding me a lot, and it's something that you retro crushers out there can help us out with. I was thinking of putting a feature together of the best remakes and cover versions of songs. And so if you've got any particular out there that you enjoy, go ahead and email us. Go to retrocrush.com, and we got an email address right at the top of the page there. And send in your suggestions. It'd be kind of fun to put this together. I'm thinking of getting about 40 or 50 suggestions of just the best cover songs of all time. Some of them that come to mind would be Tina and Ike Turner's Proud Mary cover, maybe Johnny Cash's Hurt. Sky's the limit what you can come up with. And even obscure things, like it doesn't even have to necessarily be a remake of the whole song. Like, for example, Hey Jude by the Beatles was redone in a really clever way by KRS-One's Boogie Down Productions with the song Criminal Minded. And I'm going to play a clip of each of those for you so you can see how clever that was here. So here's the beginning of the Beatles' Hey Jude.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start to make it better.
Booking out production, production. We'll always get paid. We'll take the wackest song and make it better. Remember to let us into your skin. Cause then you'll begin to master rhyming. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for a star like mine, you can't find it. They are the audience, I am the lyricist.
you ever got a chance to see KRS-One in concert, really check him out. I saw him a couple years ago playing this very, very, very small place in Sacramento. I think there was maybe 40 people in the audience that could have even fit in there, but just a great, energetic, high-energy concert there. One of the last just truly great hip-hop acts that's out there. I'm also excited to see that Public Enemy's got a new album coming out. That kind of took me by surprise, and it's got all the players from the original crew back. So looking forward to get that and review this on Retro Crush as well. I get a chance often to interview different celebrities for different movies that they're promoting at the time. And there's this movie that's coming out called Domino about bounty hunters. And if you just see the poster, it already looks like a piece of crap. It's got Keira Knightley holding a gun, some other actor I haven't heard of, and Mickey Rourke just standing there. And it's, you know, you kind of got to wonder about a movie that's got to use Mickey Rourke on the main poster to sell the film. I love Mickey Rourke to death, don't get me wrong. Barfly's one of my favorite movies that I've ever seen. He was incredible in Sin City, but you have to agree that the crap-to-gold ratio of movies that Mickey Rourke's chosen to make, double-teamed with Dennis Rodman, Another 9.5 Weeks, you know, just Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man that he made with Don Johnson. I mean, I think you could probably pick 50 of the worst movies ever made, and Mickey Rourke would probably be in about 5 of them. But anyway, the press release I got said, hey, if you're interested in interviewing any of these cast members, let us know. Mickey Rourke was on there, so hey, I'd love to talk to Mickey Rourke, so hopefully we can put that together. But another one on there, and keep your fingers crossed for this, but Christopher Walken has been made available for interviews. So it seems like aiming a little high there, but I sure hope we pull that together. Here's a classic Christopher Walken scene I'm going to play from you from Pulp Fiction. It's probably one of his most well-known monologues. It's the flashback from when Bruce Willis, his character, remembers back when he was a boy, when his father's watch was given to him, and you learn why it's so important that Bruce Willis find that watch again.
This watch was on your daddy's wrist when he was shot down over Hanoi. It was captured from a Vietnamese prison camp. He knew that if the gooks ever saw the watch, it'd be confiscated, taken away. The way your dad looked at it, this watch was your birthright. He'd be damned if any slope's gonna put the greasy yellow hands on his boy's birthright, so he hid it. In one place he knew he could hide something, his ass. 5 long years he wore this watch, up his ass. Then he died of dysentery. He'd give me the watch. I hid this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass 2 years. Then, after 7 years, I was sent home to my family, and now, little man, I give the watch to you.
Walken's so fantastic. It's so funny to realize that I guess George Lucas actually was considering him for the part of Han Solo in Star Wars, if Harrison Ford wasn't going to take the part. And it's just so funny to imagine how different that whole series would have been with Walken in that role instead of Harrison Ford. We're going to close out the show with a tribute to Casper the Friendly Ghost. These cartoons I grew up with seeing in the morning, every morning before I went to school. And such a nice little boy. Terrible accident, this little boy died. Some people speculate it may have been Richie Rich or Charlie Brown, but this kid died, and instead of going to heaven, like most good kids would, he was forced to walk the earth and scare the hell out of everybody that he was trying to be friends with. And there was the original theme to the Casper cartoon, and a little bit later on there was something called the New Casper Cartoon Show that had an equally great theme. I'm going to play both of those for you here. Here's the 50s Casper cartoon theme to start us out with.
Casper, the friendly ghost, friendliest ghost you know. So grown-ups like to bring him with fright, you'll all love him so. He always says hello, and he's really glad to meet you. Wherever he may go, he's kind to every living creature. Grown-ups don't understand.
in the most. But in Dollar they lost him so. That's where the Flamingo.
And here's the theme to the new Casper cartoon show.
I'm the ghost that's known as Casper. I want to be a friend to you. I will try to make you happy. This is all you have to do.
Come on now, I'm going to party. Come on now, I'm going to party. We are the friendly people and the one.
Here is a little witch we call Wendy. She's as good as she can be. Over here is tough guy Spooky. He'll surprise you, wait and see.
Come on now, I'm going to party. Come on now, I'm going to have some fun. We are the friendly people.
The funny ghostly trio, they have tricks they've never used, and the horse's name is Nightmare, she will keep you all amused.
Come on now and join the party, come on now and have some fun, you will find in just a moment, you'll
arrive
until it's done.
So come along everybody to the new cat.
That just brings back so many fun memories. I know one of the great things about that theme song, too, is it had a completely different closing theme song as well, where Casper would kind of walk up kind of sad, and he'd start flying away, and he'd go, "The time has come when me must leave you. Sorry we are, but we must go. And we hope that we will see you when it's time for our next show." And then it went into the "Come on along and join the party." Chorus again. So, Casper, I hope someday you find eternal peace and could finally have an afterlife that's rewarding instead of facing consistent ridicule. You must have been one pretty bad kid to deserve that fate. That's all I know. I know we don't do a lot of current events on this podcast, but I had to point out that go look at for a picture of the new Supreme Court nominee, Harriet Myers. Find a picture of her. And then look at a picture of the puppet for Lady Elaine that was the boomerang-holding puppet on the Mr. Rogers show. And you'll find that they look eerily similar. Coincidence or something else? Kind of makes you wonder sometimes. Yeah, friends over at TVShowsOnDVD.com have some pretty good new classic TV on DVD news coming out. Sequest DSV is going to be released on DVD. The really great underrated Vietnam drama called Tour of Duty is coming out on a complete series. And in 2006, they're going to unveil The Flash. The entire set's going to be in a big 6-DVD set that's going to come out in 2006. So, looking forward to seeing those come out on DVD. Well, thanks again for tuning in. We're going to wrap things up. Make sure you check out RetroCrush.com, the website. We got a lot of great Halloween content going on. A lot of classic stuff. The scariest movie scenes of all time. 100 coolest monsters. Lots more great stuff. And we're currently counting down the 100 greatest horror movie acting performances, and there's a lot of really neat things there, so it's a good place just to get some ideas of some good DVDs to go see. Another of the list that we're going to be adding a whole second volume to soon is a real popular feature we did about the 50 coolest song parts of all time. Not the coolest songs, but just the song parts. And we had 50, and we got so many new suggestions, and I thought of so many things since then that I was thinking of adding a whole another 50. So we have 100 in total. And one of them that got left off the first list here and that we're going to close out the show with is this really great part of Aerosmith's Dream On. I don't care if you like Aerosmith or not. You got to admit that Dream On is one of the best rock songs ever recorded. And when Steven Tyler just starts screaming at the end of that song, that voice getting impossibly high, and you wonder how his vocal cords aren't shattering apart. It's just amazing. Certainly a song worth listening to. So have a great day, and here is a portion of that coolest song part from Aerosmith's Dream On. Have a great day.
Dream On!